Blog Talk Radio.
Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Get ready to be the best you can be. Stay tuned for the Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules.
Welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules, your host from beautiful Southern California. Hey, I just want to remind you that if you're listening to the mainstream media news, well, turn it off. That's right, turn it off. As Joe Vitale told us last week, only listen to the shows that will lift you up. That's the only way we have a chance to shift the consciousness of mankind, one person at a time. And let me just reaffirm this to everyone listening right now. The economy is fantastic. We have lower gas prices, lower food costs, and Black Friday was an incredible economic boost. You know, yesterday I went shopping. And I bought everything, and I saw the people coming out with gifts, and it was booming. But yet, the first thing I heard on the radio in the morning was that the merchants were all disappointed with Black Friday. That is not true. The economy is growing, so don't let anyone tell you different. If you have a friend that mentioned it, tell them that they've got it wrong. Tell them that they can stop believing all of this. Shall we say, propaganda from the mainstream media and the residual from the presidential campaign. So keep downloading the show to your iPod or computer, as well as other lifting shows like Colette's show, as a matter of fact. Keep on downloading. The more news we get and the more people that listen to shows like this one, they'll prosper because we know how to create our abundance and our economy. So, and because of that, guess what? We're going to begin to launch the Law of Attraction Talk Radio Network with such wonderful hosts as Dee Wallace, Todd Silva, and we have a brand new Soul Soap Angel Intuitive starting tomorrow, Tony Sanders, who's going to begin hosting the show. And you'll want to call in and ask a whole bunch of questions. You know, this is so exciting. We have brand new shows coming on the network that will feature Law of Attraction for kids, for real estate agents, for finances, for spirituality, for energy healing, for feng shui, and even for channeling, all coming up. You're absolutely going to love it. I can promise you. So stay tuned. And as usual, my show is going to be on there, Law of Attraction Talk Radio, and bringing you the best guest ever in the Law of Attraction field. And here is the new address that you will want to bookmark. It's called www.lawofattracttalkradio.com. So join us. I just want to mention also that next we have Corey Herter on Wish for Love. He's going to be talking about sacred geometry and healing, and it's very, very fascinating. Then on Thursday, we're going to have Law of Attraction coach Judith Witzel coming on. She is fantastic and has a whole bunch of wisdom for us. And then Steve Pavlina, who is a personal development coach and Hay House author, he's coming up on December 14th. And, you know, with all of these terrific guests, including Colette that's coming right on, we've got it all here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio. So no need for that mainstream and no need to bring yourself down in that fear mode. Just stay tuned. And tonight we've got Hay House author and intuitive Colette Baron-Reed with us talking about her latest book, Messages from Spirit, The Extraordinary Power of Oracles, Omens, and Signs. She wants to talk about a whole bunch of things. She just said, we're going to go with the flow, and oh boy, this is so much fun for me. And in case you have not heard of her, and many of my listeners actually have, and they requested that I get her to come on the show, she is an internationally renowned intuitive counselor, educator, healer, who helps others recognize and connect with their own intuition, potential, and purpose. Colette uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower her clients and her listeners, everyone, to a life that is awake and authentic. Oh, I love that. Colette has advised, would you believe, over 20,000 clients in 29 countries around the world. She is praised for her accuracy, her objectivity, and detailed nature of her readings. She's also known as a successful recording artist through her album of original music, Mandoline's Garden. She's also incredible meditation recordings on her site that you have to go see her site, and just she's got so many goodies on there that you gotta see. It's www.ColetteBaronReed. That's Colette Baron, BaronReid.com. We'll have that on the chat room as well as the host page. But let me bring her out right now. Welcome, Colette, to Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Well, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. I love your show. And by the way, Steve Pavlina is terrific. He's a colleague of mine at Hay House, so you'll have a really great show with him.
Oh.
Next week you got him on, right?
Yes. Well, yeah, 2 weeks. In 2 weeks he's coming on, and I'm really excited to talk with him.
Perfect.
Yeah, we have a lot of mutual friends. Sandy Taylor is
on
the show quite a bit, too.
Sandy and I actually did, we did a Lilydale event together. We're very good friends, actually. We're doing another one together in August. But, yeah, Sandy's work is, well, of course, I mean, it's very much in along the lines of your show, too. So I know she's terrific. And we have long discussions, her and I, about the complexities of the law of attraction and things to watch out for. So, I'm really glad. Actually, she mentioned to me, too, when I told her I was going to be on the show. She was terrific. She was one of the reasons I said yes.
She's wonderful. We just love her here.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we want to talk about your book, Messages from Spirit, and your upcoming workshop in February. But there's just a whole bunch of things we can talk about here. Let's start by talking about happiness. You have a different take on happiness. This is perfect. We need to get in this.
We talk a lot. We talked earlier about, you and I, before we got on air, about that, you know, everybody wants to be happy, right? That, in fact, that it's our birthright to be happy. But what does happiness really mean? Now, I think people mistake, oh, my God, sorry, I've got three tiny little Pomeranians that have just now taken this moment after being quiet for hours to all in unison go bananas. And I'm sorry, but I have to go to another room. How do your listeners like me so far?
They just want to be on the radio.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? All day they don't make a noise, and now they're squawking while I'm on the radio. Okay. Well, I'll just leave them, and one of them is now managing to pee on the carpet. Excellent. Okay. That's the law of attraction for you. There you go. Get Colette distracted. Okay. So let's talk about happiness, because people think happiness means fluffy and giddy, and that joy means, you know, that happiness means just that we never experience any other emotion, that we're like the Stepford Wives. And I don't agree with that at all. I don't think happiness is that. I think happiness, the truth about happiness, is that we live a full life. Abundance doesn't mean a plethora of nice. That's not true, nor is it actually accurate, nor can it ever be. And that's why we get into this whole crap about blaming, you know, like, oh, well, she's doing the law of attraction wrong, when in fact, life is full. And happiness is really about us being fully aware that there is a power greater than ourselves working in our lives, and that we can have appreciation and gratitude for anything that comes to us in this world. And that includes sometimes some of the things that are uncomfortable, like listening to once in a while, God forbid, the mainstream media, which makes me want to barf. You know, so because, you know, we do have to know that the stuff in the world is difficult, but happiness can be found in spite of the temporary conditions.
Right.
In spite of it. Not because we want to see the conditions tell us that everything is fine, because that's actually not true. It's our perception of those things.
Well, we have to have the contrast in order to know when we're happy.
Yeah, but again, though, too, you know, I think the idea of joy, happiness, what is it all mean, you know, is that, you know, I think that I am happiness. I am most happiest when I have found meaning in my life. And I think, you know, there's a great book by Viktor Frankl, and I think you're familiar with him. He's a psychiatrist who was in the camps in Dachau. I think it was Dachau or Auschwitz. And, you know, it's a book called, Man's Quest for Meaning or In Search of Meaning. It's one of those two titles, and all of a sudden now I have a menopausal brain cramp, but I can't remember. But anyhow, but the bottom line is that he talked about, you know, what happened to the people in the camps, right, and how they were happiest, right, when they recognized that they had meaning, when they could help another person there who was losing hope, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they found that they, even in those darkest periods, that they didn't, it's not that they walked around, you know, with blindfolds on. No, they were immersed in their experience, and they still managed to find happiness in spite of their environment because they could help someone else.
Oh, yeah. That's good point.
So I think that's why. I know I get a little bit soapboxy on this subject, but I think that especially nowadays, you know, I agree 100% with what you were saying earlier about how, you know, we have to fill ourselves up with positive things, because it's only one person at a time that can really, you know, put the light out into the world, right?
Right.
But at the same time, we can't put a bag over our head and say, you know, when we're in the front of a dragon, they go, the dragon isn't there. And then the dragon burns our face off, right? Oh, wow, she did that wrong, law of attraction. It's like, we can't say it's not there. We can say, this is a challenge now, aha. You know, so, and the challenge, in fact, is to step around it or go somewhere else or, but yet we do have to acknowledge what is there and then shift it perceptually to include a deeper meaning that can find us in a place that is much more, I guess we would say, joyful, right? There's a sense of joy when all of life is acknowledged, and then we can make choices from there.
Right. Right, but with the media that I'm talking about, they're just not conveying the positive. It's
I agree.
They're
I agree.
Out there to get to work on the fear. That's how they sell. Get the
So we need
to ignore that and just put it aside because it's untruth.
That we definitely do. I totally agree when it comes to that in the media. I mean, my God, you go to the airport and they tell you even how afraid for today. Today it's orange. You can be sort of afraid. And tomorrow you're going to be a lot afraid. But today, don't worry. It's a little neutral. You don't have to be so scared. But a couple hours from now, you're going to be really scared because we're going to tell you you're supposed to be. That, I think, is a load of horse crap. And seriously, I mean, and yes, I filter what I watch on television. I really filter it because I get very affected by what the current consciousness is, you know, is presenting to us, which is not all true, 1,000%. I'll tell you something. I know a lot of people who are flourishing right now, and the economy is not gone to the dawn, but it's almost like there's a precursor for a new structure of economy,
right?
Which is really where everybody's heading. So everybody has been told, be afraid because we have an agenda. That said, you know, when we put our attention onto our small life, like if, you know, like those are the things like that, again, that we know are real, like this is, or unless we, you know, we think we're from another planet at the same time, and that's another story altogether. So, you know what I'm saying? What is reality is a whole other show. Oh, yeah. Listen, I talk to dead people, so I know all about this. But it's, you know, but the thing is that our individual lives, when we have this in front of us, it's true. We have the ability through our perception to make choices in our life about what is true for us and what is not true. I don't buy into this fear-mongering. I think that you are 1,000% right, that is a lie and that is not true. On the other hand, you know that if you have a tragedy in your life that is unforeseen, you didn't make that happen. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't agree that you drew that upon yourself, therefore you're doing it wrong. I think sometimes we come into this world to learn certain lessons and experiences, and it doesn't come from television. It comes from your own life.
Yes.
You know, and those are the things that I'm talking about.
Right, like Robert Taylor,
Taylor?
Yeah, who came on in Courageous Souls.
Right.
And that we do plan a lot of the things that happen to us. Prior to birth. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, to a degree, I do. I think we have a framework that we still have to operate within. You know, I believe that there is, and I, again, we still have to believe that we have the ability to affect change through thought, right? And which is proven now through frontier science, the intention experiment, all of these things. We know that intention and observation shifts what we see materially, how we observe something.
Mm-hmm.
But I also believe that each person has a unique individual path, and that otherwise we would just all be Oprah. Why not, right? Hello. Only without a weight problem. You know what I'm saying? Okay. You know what I mean? Like, why are we not all that? Because we're not all meant to be that.
Right, right.
We have authentic individuality that must be... Oh, no, can you believe this? Here comes the puppy. I'm on the radio. I know you're 5 months old and a ball of fluff, but... So I really just feel, especially because, look, and I've read, by the way, not 20,000, but over 50,000 clients. And I've been in front of over 150,000 people in the past 3 years as the opening speaker for Sylvia Brown. So I come from my observation of people and the human condition has been over these past 20 years, and I have come to the conclusion that all of us want the same things, although all of us also, we do not live in a homogenized idea of life. We have an individual purpose.
Right.
And so within the framework of our fated, you know, like I was fated to be born into a family with a Holocaust survivor mother and my father was, like, those are the things that I cannot change. Those are the fate. So the things that I learn about myself when I'm young are the things that I have to work with and overcome, right? So you just don't erase stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
You can work with them, and then within that, then you overcome these things, and then you create the life that you're meant to have, right? But, and with joy and happiness, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. But it's not like Bewitched where we wiggle our nose and go, that's all going to go away now. Okay, bye-bye.
But as you say, you try to empower clients to be awake and authentic.
Exactly.
Explain that a little bit. Awake and authentic.
People put their heads in the sand.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so when I say that, I mean that I tell people and I show people. I don't just tell them, because telling people something isn't the same thing as showing them how to get there themselves. About how to be, for example, how to get a message from the spirit. I do that in my seminars. I have people who've never done this before able to translate information to an absolute stranger about their, you know, about their lives that they couldn't possibly know, that we have access to the extraordinary divine guidance that is there for all of us. So that's one thing. So I get them to open themselves up for that. And also to get out of being a victim. That's huge.
That's huge.
Wake up. You're not a victim. You only get victimized once. Then, if you keep the story going, that's your fault. You know, and that's, and rather than call it a fault so much, I shouldn't say that. I should say that you are responsible to be a victor over your life. That, in fact, you know, as a matter of fact, it's interesting. Hang on a sec. Stop it. I'm so sorry. Your listeners probably think I'm some kind of a fruitcake with these little dogs. I can't. Hang on a sec. I got to tell my husband. Mark, can you get the puppy, please? I'm on the radio. I can't believe this is happening to me.
You attracted it.
I know, exactly. This is the law of attraction, that I have this hilarious little ball of fluff, 3 pounds of hilariousness, who's now had a blood sugar rush. Okay, hello. I'm on. Okay, whatever. Okay, I'm going to attract it out of the room now. Okay. Oh, my God, this is too weird. Okay, so what was I saying about empowering people? Yes, to be authentic. To be authentic is we have an authentic path. But you have also all these tools at your disposal, you know, and we do. We get opportunities to grow. And in this, and it's sometimes, as I said, we get victimized. Look, I was gang raped when I was 19 years old. I did not make that happen.
Oh, that actually
kicked in my gift so that I can end up doing what I do now professionally for the past 20 years with the kind of clarity and hopefully accuracy. But, you know, it kicked in because of that rape. Now, I could have stayed a victim my entire life and taken out a great big, you know, investment in the violin company. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So let's just get out a new one every week. And I don't do that because it is. I found treasure in the trash. You know, and that's the thing, is that we can. We don't need to sit there going, I don't know what to do. Well, you know what? We can, if you can connect the spirit and you can shift your perception of things. You know what I'm saying? They don't have to get you down.
Right, and that's what I loved about your new book. Is it a new book?
Yes, it's a new book, but the newest book is is called The Quest to Having It All. Messages from Spirit Can. I love this. Is it a new book? Yes, it was new in May. It was new actually in May. It was a bestseller.
I just disconnected my phone. Isn't that funny?
Are you kidding me? Are we on the radio still?
Yeah, we still are. We're just having a good time. You said you wanted to have a good time, but with the flow. Okay, here we are, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Julie and Colette Show.
Oh, my God, I'm having way too much fun.
Okay, now, wait a minute. Before I lost my line there, in Messages from Spirit,
yeah.
You talk about how to connect, but you give all of these wonderful tools.
Well, this is really, Messages from Spirit was written for me. Okay, have you had Denise Lynn on your show, just out of curiosity?
No. Uh-uh.
Oh, you got to have her on the show, too. Okay. She's written like 20 books, she's a very good friend and a Hay House author, and we used to kid around all the time because she takes people on vision quests, right? And she had a book on that. And I'm the kind of person that I want to do the vision quest in my bathtub, right? I don't want to go out into the wilderness naked anywhere, okay? God forbid you should see the cellulite hello. Not that the wilderness things would care, but I would much prefer to go to Saks, I'm saying? Then go and have a spiritual experience in the woods. So what I did was I researched, all the indigenous traditions to find out some of the really unique vision, capacity to connect to divine guidance through divination. And so I translated them into user-friendly urban terms.
Uh-huh.
And they work. They absolutely work. I studied tasiomancy, which is like tea leaf reading, right?
Uh-huh.
And coffee grinds, because my father read them as well when I was a kid, and I start the book talking about that. And, because I'm obviously older now and need glasses, right? So I joke about being able to read, but it works. You can actually do the same technique and read your soup bowl. And it's like having a large print book that you get at the store, you know what I'm saying, for people who need glasses. The images are larger, and you get the same exact effect as if you're reading tea leaves or coffee grounds. That spirit will speak to us through any organic material that we connect to.
Wow.
It will. And actually, when I was on tour with Sylvia, we were doing these cruises, and I had everybody try it. I said, you go, and here's a great story. So this woman came on the boat, and her husband had just died. Now, she didn't know anybody. Sitting in the audience, we had 500 people plus, about 500-600 people. So I told them the story about how you can, get a message from spirit. You can't get it for yourself because you can't possibly discern it, but a stranger might. So that you sit down with five, six people, everybody finishes their meal, and at the end of the meal, whatever, there's something left on the plate or in a soup bowl. It's like thick soup, like squash soup or that type of stuff. But I said to these people, I said, just do it on your dinner plate. So, and then I said, then I want you to pass your plate around. So anyway, what happened was this lady sits down with these strangers, and she looks at her plate. She doesn't see a thing. She passes it to this lady, and she goes, I see Santa Claus in your plate. And she says, I see a man that with a big, long beard. I don't know if he's Santa Claus, but he looks like him. But he looks like a big man, and I feel that he's a big man, a tall man. So then she passes the plate to the next person. The next person says, I see happy faces in this place. It's so weird. I don't see the Santa Claus guy. I now see these like little happy faces all over the plate. So this woman is turning whiter and whiter as the plate goes around, okay? So she was like so flabbergasted. So the next person says, yeah, and I see this man. This man has got a beer belly, but he's tall. He's not Santa Claus, but he has a really long, long beard. Anyway, the woman's husband who had passed away collected happy faces.
Oh, my God.
He was
goodness.
6'5", and people used to call him Santa.
Oh, my goodness.
Because he wore, yes, he had a white beard. And so now, this was on, people prayed. Of course, obviously, you say a prayer first, and you ask spirit to send you a message via this organic material. Now, this is something that happened to people who had never done it before. This woman was hoping she would get a message from her husband, from Sylvia. She'd never heard of me. So the point that I'm trying to make is that when we make a commitment and to ask for divine guidance, one of the issues with monotheism is that most of us were taught that you only could speak to spirit through a priest, right, or through an intermediary that was set up by the organization of religion,
right.
Monotheism, right, since the God of Abraham. when there's a history where divination was outlawed, right? Where in fact the indigenous cultures believed that spirit existed everywhere, and spirit existed in nature, in the sea, in birds, in the sky, right? And then it's only been our description of the mythology, you know, our mythology, our mythological structure of how gods were created. You know, we've been, you know, lost. It got lost in translation. Are you with me?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I'm just all ears here.
All ears. Okay. I'm getting chewed to shreds by this small dog. I have a demon on my arm. Oh my god! It's like I've got these little needles that are going into my skin now. Listen, I'm on the Law of Attraction show. I must have attracted this. So get lost. I wanted a puppy. I don't want one anymore.
Oh, no, don't say that. Oh, no.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's my friend's dog. It will be going home.
But anyway, the major religions are the reasons why, I mean, they told us it was bad because
it was a socio-political movement, actually. If you go back in time, because I researched I wanted to know what is it that, why, for example, do born-again Christians say that you know, a medium talks to demons, or that I'm like the spawn of the devil, or, you know, that a psychic is bad, you know, that it's evil and you know, whatever. And they're listen, I mean, you can get beheaded still in Saudi Arabia for doing readings. So why was that? Now, if you go and if you really, really do the research and you look into it with an unbiased view, like Karen Armstrong is probably the best person to read, because she's a former nun and she has no bias. She's just presenting facts, right? So, when Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy, was the first time where they actually talk about how, you know, everybody was going to be put to death if they spoke to spirits or if you went to them, because they were trying to centralize worship, and it was a political move because at the time, you know, people were in a polytheistic culture. There was not one God. The God of Abraham came later, and they chose Yahweh, which was actually a God of war, was one God amongst many gods. And then we took that God, and then so they centralized it. And actually, this one guy who was, menopause, good God. Right when I'm on the radio, I get this crazy puppy, and I have a menopausal break where I can't think of words. Anyway, you'll just have to pick them. So, but I can't remember if it was Jeremiah or Josiah. He was like the like Herod was, right, in Canaan. And he decreed that he found these scrolls by Yahweh, who basically said, you know, if you have any other god before me, then I'm going to, you know, you're going to get slaughtered unless you're mine. And you can no longer have altars at your home, right? People worship their different gods, the gods of the hearth and stuff, at home. So now you had to go somewhere. You had to go to the first temple. And that's how it all started, and like many factions of this, then of course, you know, years later, hundreds of years later, when the Nicene Council, when they decided which were the Gospels that were in the Bible, which were going to be or not, and left out all the ones to do with reincarnation, all the ones to say that you had a personal relationship to the divine. Well, why? Well, because you paid for absolution. You had to pay money if you were to get forgiven, right? I needed forgiveness. I've been bad. Okay, it'll cost you. That's how it was, right? But although there's some beautiful parts to it, too, but there is some, I mean, there are reasons why the indigenous traditions of divination are not available to us because those of us who live in the United States mostly come from this background. Like, I was raised Christian. I mean, I am a Christian. Uh-huh. Right? But I also know that this is real, too.
Yes. Yes.
Very real. I mean, you know, the only demon I've seen has been on Charmed, and he was hot. That was a great show.
That was one of my favorites. Oh, my God. Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
You know what I mean? He was cute.
Well, you know, I agree with you about the religions, but, you know, getting back to your book, you have got some incredible tools in here. I love the guide to sacred sign bearers.
Oh, that
is so cool.
I created that. Now, for your listeners, and if they're interested, I mean, it is. They can also test this out for themselves. I mean, there's also free meditations on my members lounge that can help them with this. But the guide to the sacred sign bearers is about 500 different signs. signs in there, and there's many different types of. Are you talking about the one where you get your animal totems of times the seven ones, or are you just talking about the entire guide?
The entire guide in the book.
So that is okay. So that was a compilation of all the different symbolism that is common to cultures that we would mostly have a connection to. So these are Indo-European, Asian cultures. These were symbolism from the Norse and the ancient British. That is synonymous with the Native American tradition. So these are the things that everybody agreed on. So what these particular symbols meant and mean, and they still mean. So that means in our collective psyche, we have a place where we all know at some point in our DNA that these things mean these things. So there's over 500 symbols and meanings to what they mean. Like, for example, like what numbers mean, what a cross means, like what, you know, what different animals mean, what flowers mean. And this was all stuff that half the things I can't even tell you off the top of my head because it was all done from research that I had done. But it is extensive and it all works. So say, for example, that you have your dinner plate and you want to try that, or you want to try the bathtub oracle that's in there, which is from a Greek tradition of looking into water, like which is actually from scrying, but you can do it in your bath. So if you see any of these signs, you can look them up in the book, and you can actually put a story together based on the archetypal symbolism that spirit speaks to us in the language of symbols, right?
Okay, so in other words, what you're saying, if you see a cricket in the foam in the bathtub.
That's right. If you see a cricket, you think you're seeing a cricket, you can look up what the cricket means. Now, you might actually see an image of an insect and know intuitively that it's a cricket. You might not actually see the cricket come out of the bath, right?
So right.
It's an image that what will happen is that as you stare into the water, you will see a physical symbol, but it will also trigger the ancient mind within you, like the Akashic records, right? Everybody has that connection.
Uh-huh.
Everybody has it. It's astounding. If you try it, it's anybody can do it. It's the simplest thing, but we've lost this language. We just lost it.
Absolutely. Well, I don't think we trust ourselves, because if I saw a cricket, you know, or saw a picture of that.
Right, we wouldn't know what it meant.
I wouldn't know what it meant, but if I could just relax and let it come to me.
That's right.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I think that if you can relax and allow it to come and to trust the first thing that you get. If you engage your logical mind too much, it does not come from logic. Just like mystical experience does not come from the intellectual logical mind either. You have to get it from a different space, and it is your intuition or the psyche is your connection to spirit. So you know, you connect to this place that only in a glimpse will you know what it is, and then you have to go off on your hunt or your quest to find out what it means. But the logical mind will always deny it because it doesn't make any sense. Because it doesn't make sense. It's like if you have given a map. I mean, I'm sure this has happened to you. I mean, you know, where you've been told one thing, you're supposed to take a direction, and then but your intuition tells you should turn right.
Right.
And then either you run into a friend or else you avoid an accident, right, that would have happened over there. And you're like, oh, wow, I knew to do that, but I didn't know why, right? That's happened to you, right? Something like that? Yeah, it happens to everybody. It's the most common thing. Messages of spirit happen to us 24/7, and if we turn on the radio, we can get a message of spirit. One of my clients was supposed to take a trip. She was afraid of going. She all of a sudden her intuition started telling her she shouldn't go, but she planned it for 6 months, and she's on the phone with her sister, and her sister doesn't believe in any of this, and so she's saying, I don't know, you know, I'm told to trust my intuition. She goes, oh, stop it, that's devil's work. and she's like, honest to God, that's true too, by the way. So The client of mine, I'll call her Janet. She thought she heard her sister turn up the radio at her sister's house over the phone, like she could hear music playing in the background.
Uh-huh.
She says, "What did you turn up? What's that song? It's really getting to me. I've been hearing it the whole time." And the sister says, "What are you talking about? I haven't done anything. That's in the next room." And she goes, "Well, I got to know what it is. I have to know what song it is." And she comes back and says, "Please don't go," is the chorus.
Oh my goodness!
So do you think she listens? No. She goes to bed all messed up though. Hello. She gets up the next day feeling worse. Gets in the car. "Jesus, Take the Wheel" is on the radio.
Oh my goodness!
The boyfriend doesn't want to go. Turns the channel. Doesn't like Carrie Underwood. Turns the channel, and the same song comes on. "Jesus, Take the Wheel" again. They actually have an accident. She took the wheel. She was so freaked out. So what does that mean? Does that mean that Carrie Underwood knew that she was going to prevent an accident? No, it means spirit synchronistically, right?
Yeah.
You know, gets him to intuitively, gets her to listen, plays it louder. That's actually called a kledon, which I talk about there. It's the most common form of message from spirit. All of us get them. We just don't know how to listen to them.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And this is really good tips, because we do encourage everybody all the time to listen to their intuitiveness, to develop it. Now, let me ask you a question. Are there spirit guides? Are there angels? What's going on?
Okay, now
here?
Check
what?
It out. So I am the most skeptical person of anybody that does this for a living. I got to tell you, I'm the least airy fairy crystal cruncher you're ever going to run into. And this is the way it is. I was the most reluctant person to do this at all. And I got to be honest. You know, I felt that I had guides, but you know, for me, it's like I got to experience it first. Then I know if it's consistent. Then I know for sure, right? It's just the way I am. So I get on tour with Sylvia Brown, and, you know, she talks to this Francine thing, and I'm like, okay, whatever. I know I have some, but maybe I should know what my name is. Like, and then I hear that a few other Hay House authors are saying that they're channeling the Ascended Masters and angels and all this stuff, and I'm like going, okay, well, I got to get booed up. They're telling me they're talking to Christ, okay? Like, you know, like, I got to get somebody good because, hello, you know? Okay, so check it out. So I'm convinced that, well, I mean, and I do know I'm guided because I have had an experience with an angel. I wrote about it in my first book, that nobody, you can put me in a lie detector test, string me upside down in a meat closet, and I'm going to tell you, I know that happened to me, and I saw an angel. It was, like, huge and scared the crap out of me, to be quite honest. But anyhow, this thing with the spirit guide, so I sit down and do the meditation. Nothing happens, of course. I'm thinking, yeah, right, okay, fine. Well, maybe I had an angel once, but they, you know, deserted me. I don't know. Anyway, all of a sudden, out of the blue, I hear Ollie. I'm like, Ollie? What, Stan and Ollie? Like, what the heck? Where's Buddha or Gandalf or somebody good like Merlin? And I swear to God, I heard that loud as a bell in my house. And I swear, this Ollie is my spirit guide. And I think he's gay because he only comes out when I go shopping. Okay? And has excellent taste when I go to the most expensive things. So the only time I ever hear my spirit guide, trust me, is when I'm shopping. So is there spirit guides? I think there are. Mine, well, I don't know. I write my own books. I do pray and meditate, and I do believe that there are angels, and I'm sure there are guides, but I make fun of it because I also believe that I don't give my power away to anything. I believe that there's a power greater than me, and I tap into that spirit, and whether or not that there's a guide that comes in, I definitely know that there's angels. I believe that there are other dimensional realities. Why would I not? You should see the orbs I can see on my camera at my house.
Ooh.
The dog is going bananas. I take the pictures. There the orbs are. So there's definitely other consciousness. Who am I to say no?
Uh-huh.
But, you know, but I'm conscious with that because people are like, well, my spirit guide said, or what if I should ask my spirit guide? Like, sometimes you have to make a decision.
Yeah.
You make a decision.
Huh. Well, tell us about your upcoming seminar in February.
Ah, okay. So February the 18th to the 23rd in Scottsdale, Arizona, Hay House. Is sponsoring this 5-day event. It's the first time they've done that, by the way, for an author, so I'm extremely proud of this. And
wow.
It's going to be a small group, however. I had over 500 people at my last seminar just on my own. Wow. We've cut it off at 100 people. And we are starting the evening on the Wednesday with, you know, I'm talking about some of what the frontier science has shown us now about consciousness and how we can affect consciousness through the law of attraction and different laws. But I'm also showing people how to tap in, how to move their blocks away. I'm spending an entire day on a process that's been inspired by something called voice dialogue work by Helen Cedra Stone. So there's an entire day of clearing blocks. It's extraordinary. And then we do an entire day of making contact with spirit. And basically everybody's going to get a ton of readings because they're doing this for each other. And then I'm actually, you know, bringing people to get to the point where they are so in tune that they're, I mean, this is like long days, too. This is like 9 until 5 every day. And then we go into a real in-depth finding out what your purpose is. What is the blueprint? And how do you raise your vibration to the point where you can really transport yourself out of your crap, basically, you know, and into your full potential quickly? We don't have a whole lot of time.
We
don't.
What do you mean?
I mean, in the world. I mean, we have to step up to the plate, all of us. We have to be the best that we can be.
How come we don't have a lot of time?
Well, I think that I think that there is a critical mass going on. When I say we don't have a lot of time, I think that there are more of us that are stepping up to critical mass. The more people that do it at the same time, the quicker the planet shifts.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's a lot of things coming up. I mean, 2012, I don't buy the Armageddon stuff at all. I really much more with Greg Braden's ideas where, I mean, really there's cycles of destiny that happen and that we are going to be. I mean, look at the way the planet is. No one can say there is no global warming. I believe that things are good, but I also believe that there is evidence that we have created a lot of mess.
Yeah.
And we have to change that.
Okay, good.
You know, and shows like yours are helping people.
Yeah, and shows like yours. Yes, because you have a radio show on Hay House.
I do, every Thursday. Every Thursday at 11 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. But I do readings, actually, on that. That is a call-in show. I do free readings every Thursday. And people can get a free Oracle card reading as well on my site, free of charge. And we don't ever ask people to buy stuff. They just come on there. There's meditation downloads. There's, you know, I recommend books to people. And, you know, really, it's just sort of, I really believe, too, take what you like and leave the rest.
Yeah.
Not all of us are going to agree on everything, but all of us should have a voice. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you and I may not agree on everything, but I think both our work is valid.
I agree. This is fantastic. I mean, that seminar sounds so wonderful, too. So if people want to go to the seminar, how do they get the information?
Well, they can go on my website, www.ColetteBaronReed.com, and there's a little icon. It says, Your Partnership with Spirit, Discover the Truth of Having It All. And that's the other thing, too. We really define what does having it all mean to the individual and to the collective, right? So you can log on, and it'll tell you every single day really what you're going to be experiencing. So you're not going to go in with a surprise, you know. We're also showing Dr. Wayne Dyer's newest film. So there's movies as well. I'm going to be showing a Russian film on water and consciousness of water. It's the furthering of Dr. Emoto's work. It's really interesting stuff. So we're having movies. It's very, very intense and very, very, very meaningful.
Oh, wow.
Or they can go to Hay House, obviously, Hay House Events.
Oh, okay.
And then my name, yeah, February 18th to the 23rd.
Great. Okay. Well, we're making note of that. Now, I have noticed that we've got a couple of callers here that have been waiting very patiently.
Pleasure.
Would you mind?
I'd love to.
Oh, you're...
Of course I would love to. What do you mean? I'd love to.
Okay. Hold on just
Anything
a second.
Anything you want me to do.
Let me get unmute this person. And there we go. You are on the air. It's area code 580-510.
Yes, that's me.
That's you. Hi. Do you have a question for Colette?
Yes, I do. This is Judy from Oklahoma.
Hi, Judy. How are you?
Fine.
I have a
question. I have been reading Esther Hicks and Abraham's work and was reading about how Esther first got in contact with Abraham and that she did this affirmation kind of where she said, if anybody can contact me who's wanting to receive communication and participate in enlightenment in my process or something like that. Anyway, so I said, okay, I'm going to say this affirmation too. So I was saying my affirmation and I was in my room quietly, and I have this clock radio that sits by my bed. And I recently just moved to this house to live with my aunt and my grandmother, and I've never used this clock radio before. I've never turned it on. I've never touched it. All of a sudden, this clock radio starts making noise. and it was like a low hum, and then it started making like a very gentle static, and then it stopped.
Did it go to 11:11?
No, the time didn't change, but it just like, I've never had this on. I've never touched it. It has no reason to make a noise.
Well, I have a very strong opinion about that.
Okay.
And I believe that because energy is electricity, right? So,
mm-hmm. Yes.
And I mean, I joke around when she was asking about spirit guides. I really do believe that there's a lot and a lot that we don't know and we can't access because we aren't actually hardwired. We are very lacking in what we're capable of seeing and experiencing.
Right.
But that is to me a symbol of the fact that you were making communication because it's an electric instrument, right? So,
right.
And when spirit actually shows up, by the way, too, you'll find that your lights can flicker.
Mm-hmm.
Your lights might go on and off. Like electric appliances
mm-hmm.
can actually. I even zapped my car. I mean, I completely I fried the computer in my car just from having too much electricity after doing too many readings just around September 11th. I mean, we can do that. Oh, no, it's amazing. So I would say that that's a direct connection. And isn't it great that all of us can make these connections?
Yeah.
Because it's not just special people like me or Sonia, Lochocat, or Doreen Virtue, we all, or even the Hicks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can all make contact with spirit.
So now
we just have to ask, right?
Yeah,
I have to ask.
I mean, I didn't expect it to be in that form. I thought, okay, I'm going to hear something in my head or whatever. So now am I supposed to, like, sit around the radio every night?
No. You might get it. You may never get it that way again.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, too, is that when we have a preconceived idea, like, that's why I tell the funny stories about my spirit guide named Ollie. I expected Buddha or Merlin. You know what I mean? We never know how it's going to come.
Right.
None of us know, right? We don't know. And that's the thing. I mean, spirit will choose its way. And I think if we expected it one way, you know, it wouldn't be such a huge thing. Like, it's like, oh, my God, the clock wasn't even plugged in and it turned on. Right? You know what I mean? That's something huge.
Yeah.
So if you were expecting it, I mean, don't stare at your clock. I mean, the clock isn't God. The clock is not where Abraham is. The clock
right.
is,
of course.
That, it just so happens that this is a surge of energy that has come by you that has obviously affected something that is specifically created, because it's a clock radio, right? It has a crystal in it. Whose job is it to pick up vibrational information that is invisible?
Right.
Well,
it's
so like,
is
radio.
There any way you can, like, tell me kind of who that was? Or
well, my sense is that you actually, I actually think it's your grandmother.
My grandmother's still alive, but my mother is passed on.
Did your grandmother raise you?
Well, sort of. She and my mother was divorced when she was very young, and
we went to live with
my grandmother.
That's it. Thank you. Okay, so it's your mom then. So
yeah.
I would say that it was your mom. It was a woman. If you were raised by your grandma, that's why I would have assumed. Anyway, it was a female on that side of the family who you lived with. You lived with your kids.
Okay.
So it would have been someone who's passed away. And did she have cancer? Is this correct?
Yes, she did.
Yeah, okay. And she had two types of cancer. Is that correct?
Probably so, yeah.
I'm seeing it went either it went from the breast or the lungs to the kidney or the liver, and then it went somewhere else. It just feels
it started out as ovarian, and then but it just spread throughout her whole body.
Okay, so it went from one place to another. Okay,
right.
And you also have diabetes in your family background. Is this correct?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, you got to watch your sugar.
Yes, I know.
Yes, I gotcha.
Yeah.
I know you cannot hide from me. Yeah, so be careful with your eating. That's what I'm
saying.
Okay. So that was your mom saying hi. I don't think it was Abraham.
Oh, well, I didn't expect it to be. I just thought, well, maybe it was somebody.
Yeah, it was your mom. See what I mean? So you opened up the channels. And see, that's the other thing. People who've passed over, this is what I found, because, I'm this skeptical. I've only just recently reluctantly started calling myself a medium because I am one, too. But
right.
The point is that, you know, when you open it up, they come. They're just waiting.
Mm-hmm.
So you've basically turned the radio on. So now pay attention to things flickering, like bathroom lights and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and especially when you hit for the sugar, and you know.
Yeah.
Pay attention to some crackling noises.
Okay.
And listen for songs. You can actually ask your mom to connect with you through songs on the radio. And sometimes, seriously, do the meditation, do the prayer, and turn the radio on and see what you listen to, what message is there in the song. It'll blow your mind.
Huh. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And also get her book, because I got to tell you, these signs, I think it will help anybody be able to understand and trust themselves a little bit more.
It's called Messages from Spirit, The Extraordinary Power, Oracle Omens and Signs.
I highly recommend that.
Great. Well, I will get it.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you for calling. Let's go down to the next one here. We have got area code 805-230.
Hi, Jules.
Hi.
Oh, it's me. Yay. Hi there. It's an honor to talk to the both of you. Hello.
Hi.
Oh, do you have a question for Colette?
I sure do, Colette, and I'm really appreciate the opportunity to ask a question of you.
My pleasure.
I have gone through a year which really seems like a rebirth to me, which, to make a long story short, was a very unpleasant experience this past year. And I feel like I've come out of the end of it. And I feel like I would like to ask you, who are my spirit guides? Because I have real.
You know what? I'm actually picking up an alcoholic, so I don't know who your spirit guides are. So that's actually not a kind of question that I can answer. What I can tell you is what I pick up around you.
Oh, and, sure.
And I am picking up someone who's passed away who was an alcoholic. Who was that? Was that your grandfather?
No. No.
Father? It's a male.
No.
That you're aware of? You sure?
Uncle? Yeah. No, alcohol wasn't a deal in my family.
It's addictions of some kind. Can I be wrong about that? Did it come in a different form? Was there some?
I had a boyfriend who drank. I don't know if he was an addiction, but he passed on.
Thank you. Okay, so let me just tell you what I'm picking up. So
sure.
He was an addict. I'm picking up someone who's died who's an addict. So if it's not in your family, I feel like this is a male person who wants to make amends to you.
Oh.
So does it make sense that he would owe you an apology?
No, because actually one of the main reasons I was really hoping to get through was I have almost this soul loneliness of feeling like I don't have anyone on the other side or anyone around
me. I'm just telling you. He's here, and I'm telling you he wants to say sorry. And
well, I accept whoever it is. I accept getting
telling
you what it
is. He is an addict. He is a person who had problems with drugs or alcohol. And, I mean, it's an addiction issue, and he's passed. And you would have spent time with him, and he would have in some way been unavailable to you. If this is the ex-boyfriend who was from some time ago, he is around you.
Oh.
He's around you.
Okay.
So that's who I'm picking up.
Okay.
That's who I'm picking up. So in terms of your actual spirit guides, it's not something that's my forte. I can't actually say that to you. What I can tell you is who's around you that's passed away, what, you know, some of the issues that you might be dealing with right now, and that type of stuff. But you are not alone. I can't stretch any imagination.
Well, I also, I've been asking, like, and I really appreciate you talking to the other, the previous caller who said, like, when you asked, they were there. Because what I've been asking for is I feel like I've just wanted guidance or help, or it came through a year of battling my health, and now I feel like it's time for me to work, time for me to get my finances in order, but feeling overwhelmed and not knowing what to do. And so
I
just been asking for help. Mm-hmm. And do you have any input on that?
First of all, now, let me just scan your body first, because I'm seeing an issue here to do with your back. Does that mean anything to you at all, lower back?
My back's been uncomfortable, but I came through a whole breast cancer situation and
but
all this.
But with your
other...
back right now? Back right now, because I'm seeing issues to do with your back, is all I'm seeing right now, because I'm not seeing the breast cancer thing now.
Okay.
It's just saying take care of your back.
Okay.
My sense is the bridge to you is less about the cancer. You had like a partial mastectomy, is this correct?
Uh-huh.
Okay, because they caught it very quickly then. It must have been a very micro tumor. Yeah, it was a micro tumor. It didn't get like major, because it's not like a big giant thing, because I don't see anything there now. It's more of discomfort to do with your lower back. February is the month that I'm seeing for you when things start to really fall into place, and actually I don't think you're meant to be scrambling too much right now in the holiday season. I think you should be really recapping things for yourself at the beginning of January. So I'm seeing you going back to work part-time. You are also a natural healer. Has that occurred to you to study that at all? Or?
Sure. My whole life I've really actually just been fascinated with this work. But, when I was the physical aspect really wasn't the part that got me. What got me, I had all these things happen with my personal life that I never expected, and I literally cracked to my core. I didn't know people could crack to their core. And I had this white veil from top to bottom come down, mm-hmm. and I had this presence with me from a real neutral position and kind of doing this life review thing with me. Mm-hmm. And was that my inner self talking to myself, or what exactly was that experience?
You know, it's funny. I have a real connection with you and Mary Magdalene.
Hmm.
So, that was not you. That felt like a guide,
okay.
As you're telling me that. But again, I can't name them. But this feels more like somebody that, very much like taking you back to the Akashic Records, that type of thing. When you're talking about a life review. So, and this is a light being. Is this correct? A being of
light? Yes. And right prior to the veil, the veil experience was, I didn't
we've
know.
We've got one more call we got to take, so
oh,
take it real fast.
Okay, well, right before the veil falling, it felt like every cell in my body just, it felt like I was being tortured, like my skin was being pulled off of me. And then I had the veil experience.
Can I interrupt you for 1 second? I have a message for you that's really clear. And that's all I have to say to you, is that this boyfriend of yours, this person who is an addict, is around you and wanted to make amends to you and is really trying to get in touch with you. So, and also that your path in the next 2 years is for you to be pursuing work as a healer. That is what I have to say to you. The rest of it, you know, it's likely your guide up, sure, but this is the direction that I see you going in.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, honey.
Wonderful.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Jules.
My
thank
pleasure.
You. Hey, this. Colette, let me ask you a question. When you are, I mean, any way that you could pick up on somebody else, like the addict that you were talking about, was it directly to her? Because I was married to a man who was an alcoholic who died.
Well, did he owe you an apology?
Yeah.
It's possible. Was there a letter M around him?
Great big W.
Oh, an upside down M.
Yeah.
I was doodling M's, like it's the M, and actually it looks like W, when,
yeah.
You know, when you go M.
Great big
yeah, it could be, but I still think that
with her.
I do think that that the healing thing, yeah, it could very well have been your husband trying to push through. It could have been. Yeah, it could have been. If he had like an M, which is an upside W, like or a W, right? Yeah, definitely. And he would have been fairly abusive to you. Is this correct?
Well, yeah,
just completely unavailable.
Unavailable.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying physically abusive. He was
right.
He was disrespectful towards you, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, then maybe yeah, he would be the one to.
Okay, that was it.
Did he have a connection to the East Coast at some point?
Yeah, we were in Florida.
Aha.
That was him, huh?
Yes. Okay. So yes to the caller. That was your spirit guide. My apologies about the addict person who's been actually trying to get through to this. Is your husband then?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I see. So then, and her career as a healer is accurate. You yes. Okay. So good. So now, I hope she's still listening. So, but yeah, I mean, I can't really. You're right. It is possible because there really, really is. It's the East Coast, and there's a connection to verbal abuse, being unavailable.
And we're through the same phone line, so I could see where you might.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Interesting. And then the MW, that would, yeah, because I've just been doodling. If you actually were to see my doodle, it starts, if you see the M keep going, if you doodle it, you'll see a whole bunch of W's if you look
wow.
at it a different way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I got a feeling that's him. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it would definitely be him, and he would, the sense of remorse and being around you and. Were there two kids from him? Or?
Oh, yes,
yes,
you got him good. And I got
yes.
chills up and down my back. Yeah,
yeah it would
kids.
Be two kids. Yeah,
yeah,
two kids.
That's him. That's
and
who
was who was Sam attached to him? Was there a dog named Sam?
There, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like a long time ago. Sammy, a little dog named Sammy or a big dog? I'm just picking up. He's with Sam.
He's with, yeah, the dog, the family dog.
With Sam?
Yeah.
And Sam has passed.
Yeah.
Well, he's with Sam.
Oh, wow. I got chills going up and down. Ooh, that's fabulous.
Yeah, interesting.
Very good, very good. Well, we've got 3 more minutes. If we can just take a fast call from another person, just 3 minutes, actually 2 minutes.
Okay.
Area code 707-217.
Hello.
Hi. Real
hi.
Fast.
Hi.
You got a question?
Oh, yes. Just anything you can tell me about a possible future relationship.
Oh, gosh. That's a broad stroke here. I'm still seeing you have some unfinished business with somebody from 5 years ago. So was that the last time you were with someone? Was it about 5 years ago?
Yeah, there is somebody from 5 years ago, yes.
Okay. When you clean up the stuff from the person from 5 years ago, this is strictly within you. Whatever residual emotional stuff is there, you'll be able to bring the next one in. But it does
okay.
say that you're unfinished with that one first. But
all right,
you'll get married.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
How bye-bye. Cool is that? She's going to get married.
You know what? And usually I don't spit that stuff out unless but I saw the dress. I'm like, oh, right on. I'm like, okay, say she's going to get married.
Well, you know what? That is a good place to leave this on. Colette, we've had a wonderful time. I can't thank you enough.
Oh, no, that was fun. Thank you so much. And I did my apologies for the crazy dog. Oh, my God, your listeners are like, oh, my God, these are like crazy, wacky.
No, no. Well, you know what? You're so down to earth. That's just wonderful. We just love you.
Thank you. I love you, too.
Okay. And to all my wonderful listeners. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Good night.
Take care. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye.
You have been listening to the Law of Attraction Talk Radio, hosted by Jules Johnson. For more information, go to www.lawofattractiontools.com.